Thank you, everyone, for joining us this afternoon at session 3330.0. This is Public Health Contributions to the Third U.S. National Climate Assessment for 2013. Thanks for being here with us this afternoon. I'm your moderator. I'm Kim Knowlton. I work at the Natural Resources Defense Council in the Health and Environment Program and in the Science Center. I'm also a faculty at Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University and at Bard Center for Environmental Policy and APHA's Topic Committee on Climate Change and Health in the Environment section. This session was co-organized with my colleague George Luber, who will be one of the session presenters. George is from CDC, and George and I together are co-convening lead authors of the Human Health Chapter, which is a part of the many chapters of the 2013 National Climate Assessment. So I'm the moderator. I'm going to introduce the panel briefly of our four terrific speakers. They're all colleagues who are fellow members of the author team on the Human Health Chapter, but we're going to speak more broadly to the whole National Climate Assessment process. So we're going to talk about the different aspects, the history, the way it's been developed, the context in a sort of public health frame, because we, of course, are members of a bigger public health community. We have degrees in public health, in medicine, in law, in anthropology, and we realize that we represent the public health community of which you are a part. It's interesting to note that APHA, maybe 5 years ago, 2007, I can remember there were a dozen sessions on climate change and health here, and they were terrific sessions. But now there's over 50 sessions just in the environment section alone, and there's over 100 across the whole organization. So this is really a topic that has gathered so much momentum, and part of the reason is climate change is clearly a matter of human health. And we know that, and it's our effort to really keep health front and center in the National Climate Assessment process. So with that, and with one other detail, the fact that the draft report for the National Climate Assessment 2013 is going to be out in early December of this year. That's going to be a draft report that's out for agency comment, for public comment. That means everyone in this room should consider this a participatory process, but the draft is not yet available. So we're going to be talking about the process overall and about how it works, and we want your feedback. I'm going to introduce the four speakers, and if you could hold your questions, please, until the end. The speakers will each take 15 minutes to talk about different aspects of the National Climate Assessment, and then we'll get, hopefully, to a really great, interactive, lively discussion again. So with that, I'm going to say the order will be first George Luber, my co-convening lead author, then John Balbus, then Mike McGeehan, and then Nikki Sheets. So I'm going to do some brief bios right now of our four speakers. George Luber, who will speak for... Hey, are things being in motion here?
An evolution.
Are we good with that? Excuse? You want to... George, would you like to say something?
Oh. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to be the first speaker, and you know who I am already. And then our second speaker is going to be John Balbus. John is the MD and MPH and Senior Advisor for Public Health to the Director of the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, and John serves as key NIEHS liaison to its external constituencies and leading NIEHS efforts on global environmental health and climate change. In this capacity, John serves as HHS principal and also co-chairs the Working Group on Climate Change and Human Health for the U.S. Global Change Research Program. And I do want to give, thank you, John, I want to mention George Luber, who will be here and part of the panel, hopefully, but as my co-convening lead author, ours on the process. George works at the National Center for Environmental Health, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, where he is an epidemiologist and the Associate Director for Climate Change in the Division of Environmental Hazards at NCEH in CDC. And he manages the Climate Change Program at CDC and is an agency representative to the U.S. Global Change Research Program and lead author for the Intergovernmental Panel Change, IPCC, Fifth Assessment Report. So you'll see George again, hopefully very soon. Our third speaker, Mike McGeehan, is a PhD and MSPH and is a senior environmental epidemiologist and coordinator of climate change and health at RTI. Mike's research interests include climate change, health impact assessments, vulnerability assessments, and epidemiologic investigations of environmental exposures. And prior to joining RTI, Mike served as director of CDC's Division of Environmental Hazards and Health Effects. Mike also served as co-chair of the Human Health Chapter, or rather sector, for the first U.S. National Assessment of Climate Change. And our fourth speaker will be Nikki Sheets. Dr. Sheets is currently director at the Center for the Urban Environment of the John S. Watson Institute for Public Policy at Thomas Edison State College, where Nikki has defined the primary mission of the center as providing support for the environmental justice community on both a state and national level. Nikki has several advanced degrees from Harvard University, including a PhD in Earth and Planetary Sciences and a law degree. So there are the bios of our wonderful panelists. And with that, we're going to begin and talk a little bit about the process overall. Both George and I have no financial relationships to disclose. We have no conflicts. So with that, we'll begin. So there have been a number of climate assessments that have focused on health that have come out of the various government agencies internationally. And a number of those are pictured here, both from the U.S. The U.S. GCRP stands for Global Change Research Program. In the U.K., in Canada, Australia, a number of these have been really foundational reports in recent years and have served as sort of reference pieces to which the health community points in years past. There was a Human Health Perspective on Climate Change report, a 2010 interagency report that was conducted by the Health Interagency Work Group, again, coming out of the U.S. Global Change Research Program. This really was kind of a seminal report that identified a number of human health effects chapters and the state of the science and future research needs. And it's important, if you're not using this, if you don't know about this, the URL is noted on this page. But following on from this process, the group of us, along with other colleagues, got together and really are trying to represent the public health frame in the current National Climate Assessment, NCA authorship on the Human Health chapter. Human Health is one of several dozen chapters in the overall 2013 National Climate Assessment. You can see that besides George and myself, John, Mike, and Nikki who are here, there are a total of 8 authors on the Human Health author team. There are other contributing authors that we reached out to when we needed particular expertise on a topic in climate and health effects that we felt that we wanted to reach out to some of our collaborators in the community at large. And there's certainly health involvement on other chapters. Really important to notice that. It's not health siloed within the human health chapter. There's really an effort to move and work across the chapters within this larger effort. We received from the community, the health community, other sectoral communities, hundreds of inputs, technical inputs. The whole assessment received several hundred of those, and a number of those, a subset, went to each individual chapter. The authors would then review these technical inputs, meaning the documents, the information that people in the health community, in this case, felt were important to inform the process. They came from federal, from academic, from NGOs, from state and regional partners. And at some point in future, these will be available, made available to the public. Correct? Am I correct in that? That they will be a matter of record. So at some point in the future, as part of the National Climate Assessment process, there will be a rich repository of information for all of us. And I think that that's a really important aspect of this. A couple of examples of what the Human Health chapter received in the way of technical inputs are these. From the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists, some really important information on environmental health indicators, and we'll have a more detailed talk on health indicators later in the panel. From the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, there was information, really specific information about what are the challenges and what are the practices that are being used at the state and territorial level. So we really got terrific input from the practitioners in the way of climate and health right now. Then there's this is one of my either most or least favorite acronyms, the CHIG, the Climate Change and Human Health Group. This is an interagency federal working group that CDC co-chairs with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and NIA. And there's also technical inputs going to, NIH. That's NIH, the National Institutes of Health, not NIA. Some of the other resources that we used, and this is reflective of what other chapters did as well, to develop the chapters are an extensive literature review. Besides those technical inputs coming from the community at large, a literature review of the peer review literature out there. There were regional climate and health workshops conducted. John Balbus will be talking a little bit more about the regional efforts to really go forth into the regions and gather the information about regional climate change effects and activities to address them. And there were draft monitoring, early warning data, and surveillance databases. There was an effort across the assessment to pull together a large amount of information. And indeed, there's an effort to make this a continuing into the future effort that we'll talk about in a moment. So this is an example of what some of the literature reviews, sort of the matrix in which it was organized, looks like. It's got information on the topic, the framework, into what categories it may apply. And I think that this will really, in future, be of use and of value to all of it, of this. It was intended as an update to the synthesis and assessment product 4.6 that previously was from the CCSP, the Climate Change Science Program effort, a number of years ago. So again, remembering all of this is a follow-on to the previous government reports. But this is the third national climate assessment. As an example of one of the regional of what the regional workshops are like, they really try and highlight the regional differences that we know exist in the what are the challenges, the exposures, the vulnerabilities in the way of climate change and what it means to communities. These were also efforts to raise awareness of those ongoing climate and health activities in the various regions and provide a forum, a two-way forum for scientists and decision makers to begin to develop the dialogue that will be part of the ongoing sustained assessment process. So here's a picture of the 8 NCA National Climate Assessment regions around which the regional workshops and the reporting will be organized in future. Some of the technical products down the road after that initial draft that we will all be able to see sometime in December, down the road it's intended that there will be sort of online as well as printed products in support of the regional and sectoral assessments. Regions meaning obviously geographic regions, sectors being more human health, energy, water resources, some of the more content-driven sectors. And really, the whole assessment focuses on trends in key climate conditions and also looks into the future, too, and tries to provide statistics for future periods, 2021 to 50, sort of with those central years that are listed on the bottom, 2035, 2055, 2085 being sort of the center nodal points of the look to the future in the way of what climate change is, the projections are going to show for the future. And there were two model simulations, the A2, meaning a high carbon emissions scenario, and a B1, a lower, smarter growth, more reduced emissions scenario, however you want to frame it, were the two sort of foundational emissions scenarios that were used throughout this assessment process. There's lots of opportunities for participation from the public, from the public health community, both in the past and moving forward. NCANet is an online resource. There's also opportunities in the near future and for sure moving into the future for public comment on this draft document. We want your input to make it more refined, better, and better reflective of what we are experiencing. So please look for that. It's a real opportunity, I think, in the near future. Beyond the final report being timed for about December of 2013, correct, team? That will be the final report. There's going to be several steps between the first draft in December, early sometime of this year, and the final report in December of 2013. There's going to be a set of climate, health, and vulnerability indicators that we hope can be used by the health sector, all of us in an ongoing way, for other type of assessment work we do. All of the technical inputs that were used in the report will be posted publicly, as I mentioned, and I think that's going to be terrific. And The information quality guidelines of all of those are in the process of being finalized. And with that, I'll say thank you for the opportunity to talk to you about this and to move on to my other fantastic colleagues for more details on how we're going to get from where we are now to where we want to be. Thank you.